Why do we get turned off sex when we're coming up to menopause? A lot of it's due to... When we have an orgasm as a female, our stress hormone drops and we can start to lose weight. As a really cheeky, fun way to start managing weight, you could start increasing the times that you have orgasms. You do lose intimacy. Intimacy is when you are engaged with someone to talk about, you know, all your dreams. There are plenty of ways to re-establish intimacy. There's lots of hacks that you can listen to. Some of the ones that work really well is just... Welcome to Hormones with Sam, your guide through the confusing world of hormone health. I'm your host, Sam Beaupatrick, here to help you demystify and unlock the secrets to living a vibrant, happy life. Together, let's make hormones fun and sexy. Hi, and welcome back to Hormones with Sam. Today, we're getting down and dirty and talking about sex drive through menopause. What happens to libido? What happens to your sex drive? And why do so many women not feel like having sex ever again? If you're feeling this way, it's a very common issue. Now, the reason why those feelings are happening within you might not just be down to hormones. So let's tick off the other things that might be happening. You might be in a relationship that you're no longer wanting to be in. I mean, I don't want to overlook the obvious, but after being with someone for 20 plus years and the kids have left, it's a real realization for people often that their relationship is either strained and been lost over those parental years, or that they really don't like the person that they were with originally, or that person might have changed. It's a bit like going to your linen cupboard and finding out the old towels that used to have fond memories no longer have any purpose in your life moving forward. And maybe, without being too ruthless, maybe some energy needs to go into there and cleaning out that linen cupboard. It sounds really mean, doesn't it? But I think it's important not to overlook the fact that if you're not in love with the person you're with, it's very difficult for women to feel sexually aroused. Now, if you do like that person, but you're still not feeling any mojo towards them or any inclination, you could try spicing it up a little bit. Now, ways that I've heard that work really well, and often, not always, but often a guy will have more of a sex drive than the woman, is to have what's called a wish box. Now, this is where, and this is, I've done a lot of relationship counselling over the years, and actually I'll just backtrack. Having that conversation with your partner can, and letting him know how you feel, can actually help him understand what's going on for you. They don't like it if it goes on for years, and I totally get that. They want their wife back, their partner back. They want their, you know, frills back. They want to enjoy that part of their life, particularly if it was an important part for the two of you. Letting them have their say and how frustrated they are can help them, but also I think just having that intimate dialogue around it, because it's easier just to ignore it and hope that they don't tap you on the shoulder or put you in that awkward situation where you've got to say no. A wish box is a fun way to address this for couples. It's where you might say get an ice cream container or a Tupperware container, two different coloured notes of paper. And on that paper, you get to put in 20 wishes and your partner gets to put in 20 wishes. You can do 10 and 10, 20, 20. But let's just say you do 20 wishes. Now, I've warned women when they do this, be careful what he might wish for. So he might wish for 20 of you-know-whats, and that's okay. He gets to have his little 20 wishes. You screw the paper up, it goes into the wish box. You also get to have 20 wishes, and yours might be just to go to bed at 8 o'clock and not put the garbage out, or it might be to go to the movies, or have a back massage, or to have a picnic, or to do something together that you've been wanting to do that hasn't happened for a while. Now, with the wishes, they all go into the container, and once a week, you both pull out one wish each of the other person's. You have a week to roll that out, and you don't announce it. This is your wish, I'm doing it now. You just weave it into your everyday life so that they at least get one wish over the week that they've been looking out for, and you also get something that you like as well. People have had a lot of fun with this one in the past, and it really does bring that spark back into a relationship. Another thing that will occur very often when you've been working parents, working on the kids, working on the funds, working on yourselves, working on so many things in life, your future savings, etc., is that you do lose intimacy. Intimacy is when you are engaged with someone to talk about, you know, all your dreams, everything that's worrying you, and having that connection with them that you feel safe to explore those things without feeling like you're going to be judged or you're not going to be listened to. There are plenty of ways to reestablish intimacy. There's lots of relationship podcasts and hacks that you can listen to, but I do find some of the ones that work really well is just doing what you used to do when you first started meeting each other. You know, and you'll often hear yourself say, but we used to do this together. We used to do that together. So listen to what you're saying and missing and see if you can weave that back into your lives. Looking at each other, believe it or not, there was this study that's showed that partners looking into each other's eyes for 30 minutes a day, sitting opposite each other, made a massive difference to their connection at the end of that time. And I've heard of another study where couples were brought in and asked to procreate or have intercourse every day for a month, whether they liked each other or not, whether they felt like it or not. And that also brought them back to feeling closer as a couple, more intimate, and the desire went up. Looking at your partner in their eyes, giving your relationship that opportunity to connect, can make a really big difference to your desire and bring you as a couple closer together. So just backing up a little bit though, why do we get turned off sex or don't feel like it anymore when we're coming through up to menopause or going through menopause and very commonly after menopause? It's going to come down to hormones, right? Of course. So what are some of the hormone changes? Why do they occur and what can you do about it? One of the big ones through this time, and a lot of it's due to burnout. Remember, by the time you've hit menopause, you've had, you know, 40 plus years on the planet, many women now working, doing multiple roles, still trying to be a full-time mum and just finding that their battery's quite flat. Testosterone will drop. When testosterone drops, our sex drive will follow as well and drop away as well. Normal testosterone levels are very important to have an active sex drive. If you're tired, if you're not sleeping well, if you're flushing, if you're exhausted, you won't produce that testosterone and it's highly likely your sex drive is going to drop off. In fact, I know for women who've been clients of mine, it's a real one of those things that they can start managing themselves and knowing that they're starting to burn out, because sex will just be the first thing that goes off their list to do that day, and they'll start to, you know, see that pattern and know that they're burning out. Estrogen levels change through that transition time as well. Now, if estrogen goes up, which will happen if we're carrying extra weight, if we're maybe eating lots of dairy, if we're not exercising, high estrogen can switch off our sex drive. It also can be associated with low estrogen, which is often what all the symptoms of menopause are put down to. Oh, you've got low estrogen. Here, have some estrogen. In my experience, that's not the case. In my experience, 30% of women actually have too much estrogen. About 30% are normalizing their estrogen, and the other 30, 40% might have low estrogen. Once again, often coming back to burnout. Considering burnout and what you might be able to do to pull back a little bit on life is what I call the Health Queen traffic light system and managing stress. Stress is usually the reason why we're burning out, or we're doing too many things for too many other people and not giving ourselves the time we need each day to have, you know, those full flourishing hormones. Now, the Health Queen system of managing stress goes a little like this. We've all got 24 hours in our day, and they are in 60-minute blocks. How we allocate those chunks of time will depict what happens to our hormones and how we feel about ourselves and our feelings of success and accomplishment over the day. Now, some of those activities, there's three different sorts that I'll explain: red light, amber, and green, just like a traffic light system. With the red light activities, they take us away from higher purpose. They drain us. They exhaust us. And for the 60 minutes that we put in, we certainly don't really get that value back out, and they make us tired. You might want to think of some of the red light activities for you. They might be things like sitting in waiting rooms, waiting to go and see the doctor, waiting at airports, having planes delayed, doing activities that you don't really enjoy that drain you. You can write a list now if you like and pause the podcast, or come back to this and do it all at once. Amber activities are things that are okay, like a fair exchange of your day. I think of family, barbecues, work, hopefully is amber for you. So you put an hour in and you get that hour back. It's reasonable. You don't feel necessarily stressed by it. It's a fair exchange of energy. And I guess most of our day, hopefully, is spent in amber. Now, green light activities are secret powerhouses. That's where you put 60 minutes in, might be yoga or Pilates or something you really love, and you get that 60 minutes back, so it's really worth your while. It makes you feel restored, balanced, and during that time you're secreting those two incredible hormones, oxytocin and dopamine. When those hormones go up, we assist to elevate all the other imbalances in our body. So it can help us make testosterone and feel good about ourselves. It can help reduce cortisol and stress hormones if that's a problem for us. Green light activities tend to be things that you love, things where you lose track of time. So it might be bushwalking or stand-up paddling or swimming or getting massaged or doing some art. These are activities where you're generally just in that beautiful, blissful state. They are also, it's very interesting, the more of those you do, the more likely you are to feel sexier about yourself, because dopamine's a really key hormone for our self-esteem. I found that when women have their day stacked with these red light activities, their sex drive will often drop down. Young girls might be slightly different, because if they're in that real polycystic ovary, high testosterone, rah kind of state, sometimes they have a very high sex drive. But during menopause, that all calms down, testosterone drops down, and women will struggle to find that extra or any sex drive at all. So really look at the red light activities that you're doing in the day. And I usually say when I, you know, give my big talks that until that kitchen bench is wiped, a lot of women don't feel like sex. And I say to the guys, if you want sex, maybe you can help us wipe the kitchen bench occasionally. And it certainly goes a long way to creating that intimacy. So with the red light activities, if you feel like your day is just one red light activity after another, rather than putting sex as a maybe sometimes when I get around to it, let's address your red light activities. Let's see what you can reduce, outsource, or just simply stop doing. If it's cleaning that you hate, see if you can get in a cleaner or reduce the times that you're cleaning so you're not continually cleaning every single day and draining your battery flat. If it's around the business model and doing activities that you don't like, maybe you could outsource them. And letting go of that control can be difficult for women. I totally get it. And I come across this problem quite a lot when the woman's in a supportive role with her husband and they share a business. It's very difficult for the woman to, say, outsource the payroll or the tax returns and those sorts of things. But when they do, they get a lot more time back in their day, and that red light activity and burden on their body diminishes significantly. The game is to reduce the red lights, to create more ambers, and from those ambers, see if we can flip them into green lights. Now, every day I'd recommend trying to do at least one green light. And people, when they come to me and have a consultation, will go, one green light a day? I go, yeah. I want you to have some fun every single day. They'll sometimes look at me with glazed eyes. What's fun? They have forgotten what fun is. And fun are those green light activities, the things that make you feel like a little child again, where you might be able to play and there's no real outcome attached to it, where you can be you, solo, not doing something for someone else. And those green light activities are a fantastic way, as I said, to get your sex drive and mojo up again. I'm going to talk about a sensitive topic now, and that's about vaginal dryness, which affects a lot of women. Now, there's a couple of reasons why this happens, and that area from the front where we vagina to our back, that's called the perianal area. Now, estrogen changes throughout menopause can shift all that. It might drop a little bit more. It might be more frail and fragile and tear really easily, or the vagina itself can start to shrink and get very dry. This obviously makes having sex incredibly painful and awkward, and I guess after a while women just don't want to put themselves through it. So addressing your hormone changes that could be happening in your body, once again doing that saliva test, is a game changer. Find out if your estrogen's too low, find out if your progesterone's too low, and then you can make some changes so you can naturally start lubricating your vagina on your own. There are things you can use though in the interim, and there's a lot of gels out there that will help lubricate down below. I would strongly recommend a water-based one over an oil-based one. That's because of just how it, you know, interacts with the pH in your vagina, because you don't want to start getting any secondary bladder infections on top of that, which may start to occur. I'd also, and I have done with kind of little cheeky smiles, recommended that women start using sex toys or dildos, because they also can keep that vagina nice and stretched. And just like anything, if it's not used, it will start to shrink. Just like your calf muscles, if you're not using them, or your biceps, the vagina is no different. It will start to shrink. So you want to be able to use it to keep it, I guess, accommodating what it might need to accommodate. And while we're talking about dildos and sex toys and self-pleasure, when a woman has an orgasm, she releases a lot of oxytocin. Now, oxytocin, that beautiful hormone that we release when we're doing our green light activities, is one of the most powerful ways for weight loss. So I'll let you join the dots here, but you don't need a partner to have an orgasm. But if you do regularly and you bring your oxytocin up, that will drop your cortisol. It's a really cheeky but fun way to start managing weight. When a woman has an orgasm, she releases her body's flooded with oxytocin. Oxytocin is the antidote to stress. You can't actually be stressed and have an orgasm. So when we have an orgasm as a female, our stress hormone, cortisol, drops. When cortisol drops, often our insulin will drop and we can start to lose weight. So as a really cheeky, fun way to start managing weight, you could start increasing the times that you have orgasms. Now, that doesn't require a partner. I mean, it's nice if you are in a relationship to bring that spice back into the relationship. But if it's something you don't want to involve someone else with, or maybe you're single and on your own, go to a sex shop, find out what little fun things they have in there. Feel okay with your body and feel okay to want to have an orgasm. And if that doesn't get you over the line, think about doing it for weight loss. It's probably like a 30-minute gym workout, and you can just do it from your bedroom, and no one will see you in the mirror. If you've been delivered the information either through a saliva test that you've done with me or from some other source, and you've found that your estrogen is low and you believe that that's a contributing factor for low sex drive or being dry down below, you can look at ways to improve your estrogen levels. Now, once again, going back to a lot of the symptoms, in fact, majority of the symptoms experienced through menopause are because you are burnt out. The effort needs to be in managing the burnout, looking at those red light activities. What can you start saying no to? Give yourself the permission to put yourself first so you can start balancing those hormones. And often your body will just pick up itself and send you through menopause very quickly. If that's not an option for you, or if you feel you're too busy or really not too sure where to start, and I have a program called the Menopause Mastery Program that helps you with all of that, then you might want to consider bioidentical hormones or HRT. Now, I would say these are an absolute last resort. I firmly believe and really encourage you to try and navigate your way through menopause naturally. And there's a few reasons for this. I just think in the years that we're living now that women are stepping into their own, that we have the opportunity to not have to work as hard once we've worked out some funding there, but to pull back on things that we might have had to do in the past. We just don't need to do it anymore. The female body is perfectly designed to go through menopause, and I know if we as the generation going through menopause now don't start showing the upcoming generations that, you know, we don't all go crazy and lose our load, then what are they going to think? They're going to start reaching out for drugs from a very young age. And the human body, the female body, is perfectly designed to go through this. So I think we owe it to younger generations and to ourselves to try and give menopause a crack naturally. Now, as I said, if you can't get on top of that, or you've got someone in your life pushing you towards bioidentical or hormones or HRT, there are some options available. You'll need to see someone who specialises in prescribing these though, and they'll often use blood tests, which I've discussed in previous podcasts, is quite inaccurate, and they'll try and determine what they think your body may need. Now, some of the bioidentical hormones, which means bio meaning biological hormones, so they're meant to be similar to your own natural hormone production, are DHEA, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone. They're very common ones that they'll put into either a tub of cream that you might rub onto your thighs or forearms. They can also formulate a specific mix for you that goes through what we call a troche, which is like a little gum that'll come in a pack, and you pick that little troche up and rub it into your gums each day. Or some people will swallow and have the formula in a capsule form. They're still external hormones. And when you give your body external hormones, you deny it the opportunity to balance the hormones itself, which it perfectly can do itself. The HRT side of it, once again, synthetic hormones written by a doctor, sometimes based on a blood test, sometimes just on your symptoms, I think, you know, nowadays and age with all the other options, the last resort. Even though in Australia at the moment, women are being told that they're broken during menopause and that they need hormones in their body and a pill is the only way to achieve that. It's just not true. With the right balancing, getting rid of those red lights, increasing the greens, you will transition. Some of the herbs, and this is general information only, that may help you with increasing your testosterone or your mojo, a maca, which is a powdered root from a South American root, and you can put that into your smoothies. You can have it as a capsule. There's dong quai, which is a Chinese herb, which also works on your adrenals. Remember the theory of burnout and improving your testosterone through your adrenals can be effective for some. Rhodiola, which is another herb, once again, all working on the adrenals. I like the ginsengs. And there's a one that's got a great name called horny goatweed. All of these tend to work on the adrenal production of testosterone. If estrogen's the problem and you'll only be able to determine that on a saliva test, then you've got to lower that estrogen so it's back in a normal range. And that's very important for your overall health because estrogen's quite toxic when it's high, as well as switching off your sex drive. It needs to be lowered. Broccoli, green leafy veggies, making sure that you're going to the loo every single day to move your bowels, so lots of water and exercise should help evacuate it out of your body. And just to recap, if you've got low estrogen, and I'd recommend a saliva test is the best way to determine that, the best ways to increase your estrogen production through menopause is to address burnout, address those red light activities, decrease them, give your body an opportunity to catch up, to be less fatigued by doing less, and then your estrogen should start to come up naturally on its own as your body was perfectly designed to do. I really hope you've enjoyed our candid conversation about sex drive through menopause. If you're experiencing it yourself and you feel life's kind of, you know, you never want to have sex again, understand you're not on your own, that it probably is due to a bit of burnout and your hormones aren't being balanced. And if it was an important part in your relationship, getting your hormones balanced is a very powerful way to get that intimacy back in your relationship, maybe in some cases save the marriage, but more importantly, give you something to enjoy. If you've really liked this episode, and I certainly hope you do, please leave a 5-star review, share this with your girlfriends, and I look forward to catching up with your comments in the links below. See you on the next episode where we're making hormones fun and sexy.